We're continuing in our study in the book of Daniel in the 12th chapter, and we'll be concentrating mainly on verses 1 and 2 of this chapter. We'll read to begin with verses 1 through 4. But we're basically going to be talking today about God's resurrection plan. You know, God is good to us, for he gives us his plan of what is to take place in the ages. Now, we don't get all the details. We're not capable of handling all the details. He keeps information from us, but he gives us a lot of information, and especially in this area of resurrection. It's important that we know this. It's good to know this. It's wonderful to know this, because it's part of being an eternal being. We look at each one of us as we age. We see people come on the scene. We have babies in the church, and we have folks that pass away in the church. That's part of this life. That's part of the natural flow of life. But there's more to life than that, and that life is in Christ. And Christ promises us eternal life, and part of that eternal life is the resurrection plan that he has. So we're going to concentrate on that today as we study this wonderful book of Daniel. Reading the first four verses in chapter 12. And at that time, now that time that he's referring to is this time of trouble that Jacob goes through, that Israel goes through. And he mentions that here. And at that time shall Michael, remember Michael is the archangel, he shall stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. Now, God has times of trouble, but this next phrase talks about times of deliverance. My, how this is life in the Christian walk. All of us have times of trouble, but in the Christian walk, there's times of deliverance. And he says this, and at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now, in our study of chapter 11 of Daniel, we've already covered the details concerning that evil one who is yet to appear on the stage of history. He is that evil one. He is that one who is Satan incarnate. He is that one who in the New Testament is called the Lie, who comes to bring about the kingdom that he has desired since the creation. The goal of Satan is to have his kingdom on this earth. This is in opposition to the purpose that God has for this earth, and that is to bring in his kingdom. So we have opposing kingdoms, and this evil one is yet to appear on this stage. God has plans, and his plans will usher in the unending kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you long for that? You know, we pray about that, do we not? On earth as it is in heaven, we pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and it will be done on earth in the kingdom. Now, this time of trouble mentioned here in chapter 12, this seven-year period known as the Great Tribulation, is but a prelude, a short prelude, to the glorious 1,000-year period wherein our Lord rules and reigns throughout the earth. 7 years followed by 1,000 years of peace and solitude and wonderful joy in the 1,000-year period known as the millennium. And in this passage of Daniel, we are given an astounding prophecy as to who will govern with the Lord Jesus Christ during this glorious period, for this passage concerns itself with the deliverance of a certain people. We read of this in the end of verse 1 and the beginning of verse 2. "And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life." Now, this is astounding news to Daniel, for Daniel hears in this passage, in this message from this angel, of a resurrection which is part of the deliverance of Israel. Now, deliverance here not only means deliverance from the awful and terrible conditions of the past 3.5 years, but it also means that those people of Daniel whose names were written in the book, not only those who are alive at the time, but also those who sleep in the dust of the earth, will be part of the rebirth of the nation. So there are two groups mentioned here who are to be delivered at the end of the tribulation. They are those Jews who have looked upon Jesus Christ, whom they have pierced, and have received him as the Messiah, those believing, that believing remnant of Israel, the second group being those Jews who have beforehand departed this life as believers. Note those words, "And at that time thy people shall be delivered." This is an action that takes place with Daniel's people in mind. This is not a resurrection of the body of Christ, the church, but this is a resurrection that is connected to the time of Jacob's trouble, the time of trouble that is mentioned in verse 1. This is in reference then to the nation that we're told in other scriptures that is born in a day, a nation that will be composed of all Daniel's people whose names shall be found written in the book, whether sleeping in the dust or awakened at the coming of our Lord. So we see then, this is how God intends to populate this born-again nation with Jews who are saved during the tribulation period and all those who were saved during the Old Testament period. Now also note that this verse says, in addition to those who awake to everlasting life, it also says, "and some to shame and everlasting contempt." Note that they're connected in this verse. So if you simply take this verse at face value, you would assume that this resurrection is to bring forth those who are saved and those who are lost at the same time. In other words, if you take this verse by itself, apart from other scripture, one general resurrection is shown here, which many believe to be the truth. But I believe that here is a place that we must be honoring the scripture of 2 Peter 1:20, which tells us to be careful to honor all scripture with study, for it takes all scripture to get a complete picture of what God wants us to know, and that includes his plan of resurrection. 2 Peter 1:20 says this, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation." In other words, don't look at one verse and come to a conclusion. That's a private interpretation. Lots of private interpretation is going on in the world today. And Peter warns us about this. Be careful to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed. You know, those that have private interpretations eventually are shamed. So it says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." So the one constant in Scripture is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit spoke to this man, spoke to this man, spoke to this man, and everything fits together, and therefore we study to show ourselves approved and not ashamed. So we're to compare Scripture with Scripture before we come to any conclusion, specifically in this case, conclusions about God's plan for resurrection. So we're going to depart somewhat from our regular study in the book of Daniel to a study of the plan of God's resurrections, studying portions of the Bible that have to do with this plan for the resurrection of the saved and the lost. Now, one thing I believe that we can conclude is that all believers, all Bible believers, agree that there will be a resurrection of both the believing and the unbelieving dead. But there is in the church disagreement about the details of those resurrections. So we're going to go ahead and look at Scripture and see if we can find God's mind on this matter. You know, that's the life work of a Christian, is it not? What is God's mind on this matter? You know, if you work for the president, if you're one of his cabinet, you want to know the president's mind on a matter. And perhaps he's open to suggestions. Perhaps his mind isn't made up. God's mind is already made up. We're not going to change God's mind by our persuasion. But in the case of human beings, we can do that. But a underling wants to know the boss's mind on something. So we're underlings in the plan of God. We want to know God's mind on things. So we study his mind by getting into the Word of God. Now we're told in Daniel 12:2 that some will awaken to everlasting life. Now Jesus told us of these, and he called them the just ones in Luke 14:4, "And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just." So he called it the resurrection of the just. In John 5:28 through 29, he referred to this resurrection as the resurrection of life. "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." So we see the resurrection of life called here. God's word calls this resurrection the better resurrection in Hebrews 11:35. "Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. You know, as Christians, we are looking for a better resurrection. All things fade away when we think about the better resurrection that we're to be a part of. And this resurrection of the just is called the first resurrection in Revelation 20, verse 4 through 5. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image. Now we're talking about a particular group here, are we not? Those that are alive during this time when the beast is on the earth. Neither his image, neither had received his mark upon the foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So that refers to the resurrection of those that died for God during the tribulation. That's the first resurrection. And I think you can broadly include that, include the rapture in that period also. We'll look at that later. So in contrast to the resurrection of the righteous, there is also a resurrection of the unrighteous. We've looked at a few scriptures there. Again, we refer to our Daniel passage, Daniel 2, where we are told that some will awake to shame and everlasting contempt. And in John 5, we have already read of those that will be part of the resurrection of damnation. And in Acts 24:15, Luke tells us that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. Now, the question that is most asked when we come to this subject matter is, when will these resurrections occur? For there are those who believe they occur at the same time, and those who believe they are separated from one another by long periods of years. We've already read passages in the scriptures where both of the resurrections of the just and the unjust are mentioned together, and they appear, taking those verses by themselves, they appear to occur at the same time. As I said, Daniel 12:2 is one of those passages, and another passage is John 5. Jesus in John 5 referred to both groups hearing his voice and coming out of their graves, one group coming to the resurrection of life and the other group to the resurrection of damnation. So to many people, these passages clearly speak of one general resurrection of both the saved and the lost. But as I said, these verses are not enough to bring us to a conclusive understanding of God's plans of resurrection. For all that they say and all that they do is give us an understanding that there will be a resurrection of the righteous and the unrighteous at the last hour and the last day. Now, the last hour and the last day in Scripture are long periods of time. That's pretty clear in Scripture. We are in the last days. Paul said he was in the last days. So there's long periods of times for the last days. So this understanding of Scripture could tell us that these resurrections could stretch over a long period of time. Now, that passage in Revelation 20:5 bears out this conclusion, for it gives us a period of 1,000 years between the resurrection of the just and the resurrection of the unjust. We read that again. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So this is referring to those that were killed during the tribulation period, living and reigning with Christ for 1,000 years. These were the resurrected believers of the tribulation period that is being referred to here. Then it says this, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. So we have here a 1,000-year period between a resurrection and another resurrection, the first resurrection being defined by as those of the just, the second resurrection being defined as those of the unjust. We have in this passage then the souls of the spirits waiting for their resurrection, and it's called the first resurrection. So this is a phased then resurrection, the parts being separated by 1,000 years. Revelation 10:6 tells us this, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now we're told in other scripture that those who, Christ said, those who suffer with me shall reign with me. So we see a portion of those in the passages that we've read reigning with Christ during that 1,000-year period. Those unbelieving men and women are not raised until the 1,000-year period. Now, this pattern that we're seeing evolve here falls into God's program of harvesting. God's program of harvesting has four parts. The first harvesting is called the first fruits. You go out and you have an apple tree, and the first apple that is edible is called the first fruits. Now, you don't go out and pick all the apples on the day that the first fruits come in. You pick that one, you have a nice juicy bite of that apple, but the rest of them you leave until the time of their ripening. So you have the first fruits. Then you have what is called the harvest. The harvest is the main ingathering of the crops. And then after that, you have the gleanings. Gleanings are in the Old Testament. There were laws concerning gleanings. But you had the first fruits, you had the harvest, then you had the gleanings. And the last part of the harvest is the burnings. They used to burn their fields for the next planting. So you have the four parts, the first fruits, the harvest, the gleanings, and the burnings. Now, Christ's resurrection was the first in God's program, the first fruits, then to be followed by believers in various groupings, then unbelievers. Christ, Jesus Christ, then was the first person to come back from the dead, never to die again. There were other resurrections prior to that, but they died again. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:20-23, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. So God uses this harvesting term to describe the resurrection of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. So we have an order here. Just like the harvest has an order. Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. So he's describing a harvest that takes place at his coming. So at his coming is composed of the rapture, where he comes in the air, calls out his church, and then he comes later on to touch down on the earth, and he calls out those that were that died in the tribulation, and also those that died in the Old Testament times, because it says in Daniel that all those that were written in the book. So we have the rapture of the church. The bodies of the living and the dead we're told of in 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ, now we're talking about the church here, shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So here we have a description of a resurrection of the church, the body of Christ. This takes place prior to the tribulation. Paul told the church at Corinth about the change that would take place in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 58. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, or unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So here we see then a construction then of the resurrection plan of God as we go through the scriptures. So Christ is the first fruit. The church, the next in line, and then comes the resurrection of the tribulation saints at the second coming of Christ, not at the rapture, but after the tribulation. So the harvest is basically in this seven-year period, the beginning and the end. So now let's return to the Daniel passage and see this resurrection in total. For it not only includes those who were killed during the tribulation, but it includes those whose names were written in the book, those who sleep in the dust of the earth. Pay attention to this passage. And at that time, so the angel gives Daniel a time reference here. He was talking about Jacob's time of trouble. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered. Every one of them that shall be found written in the book, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Now these then that are asleep in the dust, we are told were Daniel's people. Thy people, he said. Didn't refer to the church here. He was referring to thy people. And their names are written in the book. Some come from the tribulation period, the time of trouble, and others come from God's people of the Old Testament, because it says all those whose names were written in the book. So we see then here a resurrection of those Old Testament saints, along with the church participating in the governing of Israel and the remainder of the earth during the 1,000-year period of the kingdom of Christ. You have the kingdom of Christ populated then by the church, by the tribulation saints, by the Old Testament saints, and those that come in to the millennium that who did not die during the tribulation. So you have these various groups come into the millennial kingdom. God then intends to populate Israel with believers who have been redeemed, believers saved during the tribulation, believers resurrected from the tribulation, and believers from the time of Adam to the resurrection of Christ. So that's who is going to govern Israel. All those that come into the governing of Israel, all those that will be in Israel will be saved. Everybody in that group is saved. So every believer then, from the time of Adam until the second coming of Christ, will at this time have been resurrected. Up to this point, we've seen no unbelievers resurrected. For we're told in Revelation 20:15 that this will take place after the 1,000-year rule by Christ over this earth. All believers have been resurrected. No unbelievers have been resurrected. And we're told that this comes prior to the time of the great white throne judgment. Let's read those verses. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. So this book of life is prominent in the resurrection plan. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. You see, there's another thing about you can't hide from God, can you? You know, a lot of folks say they want to hide from God by destroying their body, but God somehow takes out of the sea those that the fish ate. You know, God can do that. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Here's the burnings. See, this is the burnings. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So we see very clearly that in this passage that all the unbelieving dead who have ever lived will be resurrected and judged at this time. Now remember that during the 1,000-year period, there were human beings that entered into that 1,000-year period that did not receive new bodies. They procreated, they had children, so there were children that lived and died during the millennium. So of necessity, I believe there will also be some righteous people who will be judged at the great white throne judgment, whose names are indeed written in the book of life. There's going to be saved people during the millennium, I believe, going to be there. They will consist of children who were born and died during the millennium and became believers in Christ. They will have to been born to mortals who entered that period and died during that period, and they're resurrected at this last time. The gleanings. They would be called the gleanings. So we see the pattern of God for this it's patterned after the common harvest of crops on the earth. God does that so much. He has a pattern in heaven, and then he reflects that pattern on the earth through natural means. And he's given us the pattern of resurrection, and he's given us the pattern of crops on the earth to match his pattern of resurrection in the heavens. You have the first fruits, you have the harvest, you have the gleanings, and you have the burnings. Jesus Christ then being the first fruits, the resurrection of the church and the tribulation saints, along with the saints of the Old Testament, is the harvest that takes place at the beginning and the end of the tribulation period. And then you have the resurrection of those saved during the millennium. We'll call that the gleanings. And then, of course, the resurrection of the lost of all time who are cast into the lake of fire. We call that the burnings. So we see then that this, I believe, is the scriptural plan of God for the resurrection. We look for the resurrection of the church, do we not? We look for and we turn our ear to the heavens, wishing and hoping that that trumpet sound will call us to be with the Lord forever and ever throughout all the ages of eternity. Thank the Lord for this lesson. We thank the Lord for his care for us, that we be not ignorant, but that we know the scriptures that he's given to us in this subject matter. Father, we are thankful for the book of Daniel. We thank you so much for this wonderful time of resurrection of Daniel's people. And Lord, we look forward to the wonderful kingdom that you will establish on this earth. Lord, we think we have a great country, but our country is nothing in the plan of God. Thy plan is for your kingdom to come and thy will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, help us to be on board with this in everything that we say and everything that we do. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.